The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvin Vora. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvin Vora.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. Today I want to talk about the difference between political chess and political checkers. See, the Democrats and Republicans, they want us to play checkers while they play chess against us. They want us to think about politics simply while they think about it intelligently. They want us to think about it non-strategically while they use advanced strategies and tactics while they think years ahead of us. In this episode, I want to talk first about how we change our mindset and what we need to do to play political chess and win at political chess. The number one way that the Democrats and Republicans try to keep us from cutting government is they try to keep libertarians from the ballot. That means they literally try to prevent libertarian candidates from running for office at all. The way they do that is they make these elaborate requirements that usually only apply to third-party candidates. They say that you need to get tens of thousands of signatures. In Maryland, here's something that they do to make it even harder. In addition to saying that Maryland needs to get tens of thousands of signatures, they actually invalidate most of them. That means they use the following types of tricks. If you sign a petition, and you also have to print your name. Now, let's say you print your name, and you don't include your middle initial, but you did have your middle initial when you actually registered to vote the first time. They're going to count that signature invalid, and they'll also say that you're not allowed to sign a different petition. So they're fundamentally using these kind of shenanigans to make it impossible for you to sign a petition, making it impossible for libertarians to run for office, and trying to make it impossible to cut government. The good news is there are a lot of ways that we can counteract those strategies. You see, the laws, while they are unreasonable, have to at least seem reasonable. They have to pretend to be reasonable. That's why they hide this stuff in these elaborate little regulations, things about middle initials and whatnot. But one of the really good things is in almost every single state that has these burdensome requirements, instead of collecting signatures, you can just have a certain number of registrations. In other words, if you register to vote libertarian, or if enough people register to vote libertarian in your state, then libertarian candidates can now run for office. And that means they can get elected and cut government, or they can simply pressure the other two parties into cutting government. And we've seen that both of those strategies have been working. There's quite a few libertarians that were recently elected to office, and as you've seen, there have been major, major, major reductions in government that have happened over the last few years. A simple example, the massive reductions in the legalization of marijuana in just two states has led to massive reductions in the bottom lines of violent cartels. They're starting to hurt. They're starting to run out of money. They're starting to get nervous. They're starting to conserve. And if we legalize just marijuana across the country, that's going to cut into 40% of their business. We've seen all these benefits. We've seen that political pressure is working. We've seen that we can run for office and get rid of some regulations, and we can just even if we don't even win, we can get rid of those regulations. Now, the really good news right now is the primaries are basically over in most states. There is no possible reason to do anything besides register libertarian. If you register libertarian, you will literally be making it hundreds of thousands of dollars easier for libertarians to run for office. And what does that mean? Now, libertarian candidates, local libertarian parties, state libertarian parties, even the National Libertarian Party has more money and more resources to work on advertising. And that means encouraging other people to fight for the causes that we believe in, to fight to reduce and cut government. We have all kinds of ways that we can actually continue to put this kind of political pressure on. Right now, I want to actually go ahead and talk to one of the candidates who is helping to do that. My next guest is going to be Ruben Corvalan. He's running for Congress. Ruben, can you hear me right now?
Yes, I do. I can hear you.
Awesome. Ruben, I want to talk about one of the really nice things about Texas is that there are so many candidates running for office. One of the things that I wanted to especially talk to you about is what are some of the areas that you want to downsize in government? If you're elected, what are some of the things that you're going to cut?
Well, I would like education to be completely eliminated and leave that, if anything, to the states. And so that's a good chunk. Also, the IRS, mm-hmm. It's an incredible organization that it should be abolished. And that's an incredible savings there. A lot of wars that we are, you know, sending people to different countries and armies to act as policemen of the world, that should be substantially reduced and be very precise in whatever we do, instead of just, you know, trying to do things, but actually do them. Those are some of the things, and in addition, any new bill that comes into my desk mm-hmm. that will increase the debt of this country, I will absolutely reject it unless it is financed with some other program that is not as important as the one that they're proposing. So that could be a good compromise as a
midpoint. Let's talk about a few things. I mean, I want to talk about a few of those things that you've mentioned. You started by talking about the Department of Education. So many people are working to get rid of the Department of Education. But why is that good? Why is it so beneficial to us to get rid of the Federal Department of Education?
Because I believe that first of all, it's not in the Constitution that the government should take care of education. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. So it's an overreach. In order to have that overreach, the government has to collect taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and in addition to that, those taxes are not used in the most efficient way to promote education. I would mm-hmm. say that it should be at least 50% of waste in those taxes that are collected for education. So instead of doing that, why wouldn't give us, the regular people, okay, the money back of those taxes, and we decide where we're going to put our kids in school? If you are a Muslim, you put your kids in a Muslim school. If you're a Christian, you put your kids in a Christian school. If you're agnostic, you put them in an agnostic school. So
mm-hmm.
we cannot have one thing that fits everything. And that's what's the program of the government. One thing fits everything, and that's not good. Very inefficient.
It's well known to almost everyone in education, and just honestly, almost everyone on earth, that one size simply doesn't fit all in education. Everyone knows that different kids are different. People who have two kids are like, yeah, my two kids are different. This kid likes to learn like this. This kid likes to learn like that. And yet the federal government keeps pushing these ridiculous ideas like that there could be a common core. That's like saying common food. Every single person should be eating the same food. It's nonsense. And I think you're exactly right. We get the federal government out of education, we're going to see an improvement right away in education.
Well, absolutely. And can you imagine all the waste that is going to be eliminated? Bureaucrats are so inefficient and immoral and dishonest. So that's going to be something to be seen.
Now, you also dropped a bombshell, and I want to talk about that one right after this break. You talked about getting rid of the IRS. That, to me, is we need to discuss that one properly and deeply. Can you stick around for a couple minutes to talk about that?
Sure.
Awesome. Guys, we're talking with Ruben Korvalan. Ruben, what district are you running in again?
District 23, Texas House of Representatives.
All right, so he's running for the Texas House of Representatives, running for U.S. Congress in Texas District 23, and we're going to talk about getting rid of the IRS in just a couple seconds. But let me just remind you guys, it is so important for you to register to vote Libertarian. It doesn't cost anything but a few minutes of your time, and it puts so much pressure on the other parties. Right now, the Libertarian Party is the only party in America that's growing in terms of registrations. Republicans are shrinking. They're losing registrations. Democrats are losing registrations. Libertarian Party, we are increasing. Our number of registrations is going up, and that's putting more and more political pressure on the other side. Remember, when you're doing politics, you have to play it like chess, not like checkers. And that first chess move is you need to register to vote Libertarian. Right now, we're talking to Ruben Korvalan. We're going to be right back in a couple minutes, and we're going to talk about ending the IRS.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Ready to chat about your favorite soap operas? The Daytime Discussion is here with Dan J. Kroll and Soap Central Live. For the past 15 years, Dan has been dishing and discussing on SoapCentral.com. And now he's taking the talk to the airwaves of the Voice America Variety Channel. You'll go behind the scenes with the biggest stars of daytime, along with guest commentary from the Soap Central columnists. And we'll take your questions and comments during our live show. Soap Central Live, every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
If you are interested in real estate in America's largest city or anywhere, be sure to listen for Good Morning New York Real Estate with Vince Rocco. Although our focus is on Manhattan and other real estate markets in and around New York City, we'll have plenty of information that will help you successfully buy, sell, and close a transaction no matter where you are in the world. Good Morning New York Real Estate with Vince Rocco can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. in New York, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. The IRS has come under attack recently for targeting political groups who coincidentally want to eliminate the IRS. But it's not just, I mean, it's bad enough that the IRS does stuff like that, but it's worse. The IRS is the lifeblood of big government. It is what allows big government to bomb hospitals overseas, to imprison people for doing nothing more than a victimless, quote, crime, like using drugs or selling drugs or something like that. The IRS, getting rid of it, could actually put an end to so many of the negative things that government can do, but we're looking for who's going to fight that fight. With me right now is Ruben Korvalan. He is running for U.S. Congress in District 23 of Texas. Ruben, let's first talk about what are your views? What do we need to do with the IRS?
As I told you before, that we have to abolish that department and replace. We cannot just get rid of government. That's utopical. We have to do it in little steps. And one of the main things that we can do is reduce government substantially. One of the steps will be abolishing the IRS and then charging a flat tax, or like a flat consumer tax, for anything that is bought. Rich, poor, they pay the same thing. We're all the same. We're not You know, there is no difference. So if you just consume something, you pay a tax, let's say 15%. And that's it. You don't have accountants. You don't have this mobster that collecting money from you. You don't have tax returns. That would be an incredible boost to the economy. Everybody pays a little bit according to what they buy. And in that case, we can eliminate the IRS altogether.
People have argued that the current amount of time and effort that just the compliance cost with the IRS alone is about $380 billion. That is close to the amount that the country spends as a whole on high school education.
And if I may interrupt, let me ask you, add something to it. You know, I am being forced by the government to hire an accountant. I have about two small businesses. So my accounting bill is about $3,000 a year. Mm-hmm. That I have to pay with my money because I am forced by the government to fill up this very convoluted, complicated returns that I need someone to help me. And they're forcing me, not only that, to collect money for my employees. And therefore, there's some other taxes, you know, that I have to retain. So I have to also contract my accountant to manage all that money. So I'm collecting for the government for free, and that's costing me money. This is outrageous.
In many ways, it seems that there's kind of like two problems. One is the huge convolutedness and complexity of the tax code. Another problem is that it could be a lot lower. I mean, you already mentioned the Department of Education as a department that we could just do without and cut those taxes accordingly. What are some of the other areas, some of the other ways in which we can downsize government and start reducing that amount of tax that people have to pay?
Well, there is a lot of, millions of ways to get taxes, reduce taxes, and reduce the expense of the government. I remember Gary Johnson, when he was the governor of New Mexico, he vetoed about, 750 bills that were going to increase the expense of government. So one of the, as a general answer, is any new bill that comes to increase the budget of the government, it should be by default canceled unless you replace it with an existing project or program that will, redirect those funds to this more important thing. But then after that, we start reviewing all the non-important bills and start cutting them off, or programs, and start cutting them off one by one.
What are some of the things that would be on your chopping block? I mean, you mentioned the Department of Education. What are some of the other bills, some of the other departments or other government programs that you would just eliminate entirely?
Okay, not entirely, because you cannot eliminate everything in one shot. But start eliminating, like, welfare, different aspects of welfare.
Okay, so welfare is hundreds of different programs, and you could certainly take something like that one program at a time.
One program at a time. The ones that are creating more damage to our society. For example, it's very nice to say, okay, we're going to help single mothers that have kids and with a help. The problem is that promotes what we are trying to solve. So things like that, we have to start cutting off little by little. Let's say, okay, in the first 2 years, we're going to keep it, but then the next year we're going to cut it in half, and then the next year you're not going to have any more benefits. So you have to be preparing for that. You have to start working. So things of that, and welfare, there's so many different programs, and they're totally useless. And not only that, they are against society because they're promoting laziness and they're promoting the living from the government, and all the self-pride of people is gone.
Exactly. I mean, it's one of the really problematic things about welfare right now is that the difference between, you have a choice right now in so many states where you can live, you can say get like $20,000 a year with welfare. Or if you get a job, you might make $25,000 a year. So that means your choice is to work an extra 40 hours a week for an extra $5,000 a year. And no one with any sense is going to do that. I mean, that's not financially intelligent. If someone's going to pay me all day to do nothing, or I could work really hard for an extra 5% increase, I probably just be like, yeah, fine, I'm going to take the vacation. I mean, it's creating a backwards.
I think a person with pride and with self-confidence will take the 25 any time of the day. The problem is I would not be able to just take 20 without knowing nothing. I need to feel that I'm doing something good with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I need to be self-realized, but there's a lot of people that this system have really messed up. Mm-hmm. They have really put them down in their self-esteem. They think that they cannot do things
mm-hmm.
because they need to be helped, and those people are kind of trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that are being damaged, and those are minorities, you know, Latinos, black mm-hmm. people. The minorities are the ones that have been targeted by the system, and they have been really damaged.
And it is true that there are entire communities, entire just large sections of cities that have been ruined by welfare, by different types of welfare. And I do think that as we start to scale that back, you're going to see a resurgence. You're going to see that people who've been told by the government that, listen, you can't do anything. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough. You can't do any real work. When they're given that chance, or when they're given no option but to do some work, they're going to start to discover important skills. They're going to be like, wow, I'm actually pretty good at this thing. I didn't
exactly.
think that it was that important, but,
exactly.
but other people
there's
seem to
dignity.
Like it.
There's risk has a dignity, you know, human beings. We need to live with risk.
Mm-hmm.
That you know, gets us excited and looking for the future, because it's kind of a game, you know. You do something and you can win, but you can lose too. So it's exciting. If you know that you're going to win all the time, it's the most boring life, and then, and you get out the beautiful part of life, you know. So if they give you money, the government gives you money, and you don't have any risk at all, that person just becomes something like a little robot. I don't know. That's my opinion.
One of the biggest impediments to the type of economic growth that we want to see in a lot of the socially underserved communities and a lot of the sort of more the economically weaker communities is that many of the people, while they have skills. They might be good at cooking. They might be good at braiding hair. They might be like great at plumbing. Hell, they might be great at education. They could be great at computers. The issue is that they don't know how to get over all the regulations to get something started.
Yes, I am a professional engineer in the state of Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Only us, a very few can sign documents, you know. So that what happens is that there's a lot of young engineers with a lot of good, you know, and with good energy, very efficient, very smart, that they're out of the question because we are protected by the government. We cannot do engineering work unless you're a PE. And, of course, the PE has, you know, fees and exams.
Mm-hmm.
And, regulating the industry, making the PEs fat and inefficient because there's very little competition.
And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about getting rid of some of these regulations that says, listen, if you are a great engineer, you can do all this stuff, then do some engineering. I mean, don't tell have the government prevent you from doing engineering. I mean, right now it's gone so far, and there's one question I definitely want to ask you before we run out of time. Right now it's gone so far that the best neurosurgeon in England, the best plastic surgeon in all of Europe and Asia, the best cardiac surgeon throughout the entire Europe, Asia, South America, Africa, all the best of the best over there in that area, not allowed to practice medicine in America. They are literally stealing medical care from Americans by blocking the best doctors in other countries from working here. Would you work to lift some of those border restrictions?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, the whole world is our country. And if you bring an Indian doctor that is 20 times better than an American, and that saves the life of my kids, I don't care if it's Indian or Japanese or Mexican or Chilean, I want him here. So all those restrictions are totally for protecting people and the turf, and it's not, at the end, a benefit from all of us because we don't get the best. There's no competition. Mm-hmm. Anytime you cut competition, you get fat people that are lazy, and they don't want to do anything. I mean, they don't want to improve.
Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's right there the thing that we need to have. We need to have people who are saying, listen, Let's have the best doctors come over here. Let's have the best engineers who are already over here. Let's let them work as engineers. Let's let the people who want to start businesses that have great talents, let's let them do that. Let them start businesses, provide great services, even create jobs. Let's make that happen. And I think it's you're right. It's something that needs to start by getting rid of some of these federal regulations.
Let's get the people moving. You know, it's with competition, creativeness, and if as long as the regulations are not there, then the competition starts. Let the games begin.
Ruben, if somebody wants to learn more about your campaign, what's the best place for them to go?
RubenForCongress.org. RubenForCongress.org.
And guys, if you go over there, you can see, you can find out information about his campaign, keep track of things, even get involved. The great thing is that you know, there's so much now that we can do with website and social media, so so many people are going to be able to learn more about your campaign. So anyway, Ruben, thank you so much for taking the time for being on the show to be on the show today and for sharing some of your insights and especially for sharing some of your plans to reduce government.
Have a great day and keep busy.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Guys, bye-bye. Here's the even better thing. You have someone like Ruben in Texas who's working to make people's lives better by cutting government to get government out of the way. But the great thing is you have people like Ruben all over the country. If you go to lp.org/states, you can get involved in a Can't Libertarian campaign in your state. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We just finished talking with Ruben Corvalan. We will be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
In the spirit of Have Couch, Will Travel, Dr. Carol Lieberman creates a haven of sanity in an increasingly insane world. Each day we are bombarded with news of events that have never crossed our wildest nightmares. Society is spiraling out of control and everyone is reeling from it. But now there's an answer. The best way to keep sane in this insane world is to tune in to Dr. Carol's Couch on Voice America. Dr. Carol, a certified media psychiatrist, will broadcast live from her Beverly Hills office every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Call or log in and get help with whatever is sending you reeling, whenever you need a soothing voice to calm and advise you. That's Dr. Carol's Couch every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time here on America's Voice, voiceamerica.com.
Psych Up Live with host Dr. Suzanne Phillips is an insider's glimpse at a life from a psychological perspective. It's a look at what matters to us. Why do we laugh? How do we cope with stress? Are men and women really that different? What is it about our relationships? How are they formed? How they work out? And why they sometimes don't? Every week is something new to engage you. Psych Up Live is heard every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll turn up your perspective on life.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. You know, a couple of years ago, or just over a year ago, I had an amazing experience. The Libertarian National Committee meeting was held in New Orleans, and I was blown away by what I saw there. I saw one of the most intense, exciting, and active affiliates that I've really just ever seen during my time on the LNC. And what was especially interesting is just a couple of years before that, there's only four or five people involved in the Libertarian Party of Louisiana. Now, one of the people that helped make that happen, that helped make that amazing growth happen, is Wendy Adams. Right now, she serves as the executive director of the Libertarian Party of Orleans Parish and actually also is the executive director of several other southeastern Louisiana parishes, and in Louisiana parishes like a county. So, and she's just helped transform so many parts of the libertarian movement over there and has really helped serve as an example to many other states of what you can do when you start out with a small but motivated group, that you can turn it into a big and motivated group. Wendy Adams, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon, Arvin.
Let me ask this. I mean, it's incredible to see what you guys are doing. What are some of the things that you guys are doing right now in Louisiana?
Well, our strategy is to work on voter registration, to quantify the number of people that believe in libertarian principles and have them register to vote as libertarians, because it sends a message to the two-party system that there is a growing trend of people in Louisiana that believe in libertarian ideas. And from there, we're working to establish parish affiliates, the local organizations. That is just key to establishing a strong foundation, you know, for the state party. In New Orleans, we are thrilled to announce that we just got behind a local parish ordinance in the city of New Orleans to decriminalize marijuana. And what that ordinance did was it provided for the police officer to issue a summons in lieu of a custodial arrest. So the police officer can, instead of taking you to jail for simple possession, issue you a summons, and the fines are, let's see, first offense is $40, $60, second offense, $80, third, and then $100 for all subsequent offenses. And we, you know, this is wonderful because it's really a big deal in Louisiana. We have the highest incarceration rate in the world, and a grossly disproportionate number of minorities are imprisoned. And, you know, this is for nonviolent victimless drug offenses. And what is so very glaring is that in Louisiana, we have some of the harshest, most draconian drug sentencing laws on the books and nothing productive to show for it. So what we did in New Orleans was we organized our efforts. We made telephone calls. We sent emails to council members. We spoke before the city council on behalf of the Libertarian Party of Orleans Parish. And vote was unanimous. And, you know, it didn't start off that way. The city council members needed convincing. You know, they needed to know that the people were behind this effort. Because they put their neck on the line. You know, if they're not, we have a, you know, we have a crime problem in New Orleans. And so if they go out there and they do something too drastic, they want to know that the city is behind them, that the people are behind them. But we were the only political party speaking in favor of this legislative reform effort, and the community took note of it. They thanked us. We made the 5 o'clock news, you know, so we are just very excited.
The benefit that we're talking about is kind of, to me, twofold. One, that's going to prevent a lot of families from being just torn apart by unnecessary prison sentences. It's going to help, you know, make people not have to go through these ruinous processes. But it's also an important first step towards complete legalization. And I think that especially Louisiana, you know, being a coastal city, being so close to New Mexico, is an ideal place to start working to legalize marijuana in a way that's going to radically affect the cartel's financial situation.
Absolutely. Not even that. Look, Louisiana, we just had an emergency special legislative session here in Louisiana where they taxed us. They passed a bill to increase our taxes $1 billion for the state. And so our economy is doing, you know, we are doing horribly. And the libertarians are up there at the legislature. We're making telephone calls. We're fighting, you know, to just stop the spending. And And they didn't listen. They didn't listen at all. But one thing I can tell you for sure is this was the first year in the special session they considered the legalization of marijuana. And that mm-hmm. is because they're looking at Colorado and the success story out of Colorado and some of these other states where they're pulling in millions of dollars in tax revenue. So the economy is right now with the gas industry, the fuel industry here in Louisiana, we are hurting. And so for the first time, the libertarians, let's see, we made our debut at the Capitol in Baton Rouge in 2014. It was the first year that Louisiana had gotten together and to work as a grassroots effort at the Capitol on hot button legislative items. And one of the things that we worked on is marijuana legislative reform. And we just got slammed by the Sheriff's Association and by the District Attorney Association. And we were laughed at for the most part. But mm-hmm. we came back in 2015. We got with special other interest groups in Louisiana. We got with our legislators, and a bill was passed, and we became the 17th state in the country to provide for medicinal marijuana. And we got a sentencing reform bill passed that took our maximum sentence, which this is crazy, 20 years. 20 years for a third offense in Louisiana down to 8 years, which is still insane. But this year, in 2016, we took a local approach, and we worked to back a local ordinance out of, you know, the largest city in the state, and that's New Orleans, and we promoted this effort to decriminalize, and it mm-hmm. was the people are in support of it. And just like you said, we believe that this is going to help statewide, that we're going to have a success story, you know, over the next year. I don't believe we're going to see an increase in crime, you know, due to this ordinance that was passed. I think we're going to see a savings, you know, in tax dollars that the city will not be spending incarcerating these nonviolent victimless offenders. And so, and I think with that, it's going to open the doors for the rest of the state to continue moving towards reducing the sentencing, marijuana legislative reform, and considering the legalization of marijuana for the state. And that's what we're hoping for.
The benefits are of something like that are clearly enormous, and I imagine that it's really a kind of electrifying some of the folk in Louisiana. What are some of the other issues that you guys have found that are really getting people excited and getting people active?
Right now, it is Second Amendment. I think with the Obama administration grabbing that guns. And people being concerned for Louisiana, Second Amendment rights are important. And of course, you know that that's a libertarian issue. And mm-hmm. so we're working right now on a constitutional carry bill that mm-hmm. is going to allow for people to, you know, open carry or concealed carry in Louisiana. Currently in Louisiana, you are able to open carry. However, if you put a jacket on or put your weapon in your purse, you would need a permit. But right now we're fighting to promote a bill that would make it legal that the Constitution is your permit. And so we're behind a bill, you know, that promotes for that. We're working against, there are several efforts in Baton Rouge that work to create and extend gun-free zones. And we are very much against that. They're looking to put, they're looking to make theaters, movie theaters, gun-free zones. They're looking to extend gun-free zones to public parks. And, of course, we are very much against that because we do not want to be sitting ducks, you know, mm-hmm. We are finding a lot of positive response. We're working with other organizations like gun rights across Louisiana, and we are hoping to get some good pushback and some success this legislative session. We're also working to promote raw milk. That's for food freedom. We think that the government should not tell us when whether or not we can buy or sell raw milk. You know, as consumers, we want to be able to make our own decisions. And we're also working to fight, again, the Real ID Bill. This was something in 2014 that we defeated. We worked with a number of grassroots groups to defeat an effort to pass a Real ID Bill. And we were able to succeed in getting the governor to veto the bill, but it is back again in 2016, and so we're working to stop that.
Let's talk about a few of those things right after this break. But before that, if somebody wants to learn more about the Libertarian Party of Louisiana, where should they go?
LPLouisiana.org.
All right, guys, right now we're talking with Wendy Adams. You want to learn more about what's happening down there, go to LPLouisiana.org. And you've seen some of the amazing work that's going on in Louisiana right now. The key thing to remember, just a few years ago, there wasn't really anything going on libertarian-wise in Louisiana. In just a few years, a few dedicated people have made one of the largest and most successful libertarian organizations in the entire country. And we can make that happen in every state. But it's not going to happen all by itself. It's going to take work. And if you want to make that happen in your state or help to grow the Libertarian Party in your state, if it's already big, then go to lp.org/states, see how to get involved. There are so many exciting things you can do. There's so much you're going to learn. You're going to bring so much benefit to the cause of cutting government to advance liberty. And that first step is lp.org/states. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. We're talking with Wendy Adams, Executive Director of the Orleans Parish of in Louisiana. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in your brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
Family caregivers face some tough challenges every day in caring for a partner, parent, child, sibling, friend, neighbor, or even coworker. You are there to provide the care that these people need after everyone else has gone home. Family Caregivers Unite with Dr. Gordon Atherley will provide you with a social networking experience. You'll hear from experts and others who are experiencing the same things, and together you will promote a common cause. Tune in to Family Caregivers Unite, live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Have you checked out Teen Wealth Radio? It's a show for teens, their parents, and educators. Hosted by Brandy England, along with regular weekly contributors, Teen Wealth Radio will cover the topics that teens need to talk about. Plus, we discuss a book of the week and a movie of the week. And each show will offer a challenge to our teen listeners that they can share on our private Facebook group page. Be sure to tune in to Teen Wealth Radio, live every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvin Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. With me right now is Wendy Adams. She's helped so the Libertarian Party in Louisiana do so many great things. I wanted to ask you, Wendy, you've talked about, you know, Second Amendment, and it's weird to me that people are still not understanding that if you have armed citizens, you're not going to have mass shootings. Now, what are the what are some of the groups that are that, or so what are some of the methods that you guys are using down there to get the message out there that if you arm, let people be armed, then they're not just vulnerable, waiting, sitting ducks?
Well, you have to talk about it, because the media is putting so much pressure, you know, from the opposite perspective. And, we're using social media. We're mm-hmm. using email. We're going out and doing outreach events at Loyola University and at UNO. We even did a gun show a couple of weekends ago, we did a table at the gun show a couple of weekends ago to let those who are already in favor or aware of Second Amendment issues, to let them know that the libertarians support Second Amendment rights. But getting out there and talking with our neighbors and friends and family members, and it's all a part of that local focus, the parish, the local affiliates, getting out there and talking to your neighbors at the local level and talking about these issues such as gun rights. We want to make people, have a discussion as to why you would not want to be in a gun-free zone where criminals who do not follow the law would want to go and find their victims. We don't want to be victims. We have a right to protect ourselves, and we need to have these discussions, with fellow members of our communities.
The types of outreach that we've been seeing have working across the country have been so varied, and I think really varied to a certain extent based on the area, but I think there are certain universals as well. What are some of the things that you guys have done or are doing that really helps engage in some of that outreach to people who aren't already libertarians?
Right. We do booths at fairs and festivals. Just this weekend, we have a crawfish boil scheduled. It's a social, and we're going to be at NOLA Brewery. And this is a public, it's a public place. We're going to be upstairs in the brewery, and we're doing crawfish. We're having a crawfish boil, and we are having a beer bash. And we've got mm-hmm. signs and a libertarian booth that's going to be set up with information about issues that we're focusing on. Right now, we're working on killing the red light ticket cameras in the city, mm-hmm. and that's something that everyone hates. So it draws attention to the party. It makes people, kind of get to know us and understand that we are, we're a people's movement. And so it opens up a dialogue. What we're also doing it's something that's worked real well for us that we're doing this Friday at our crawfish boil, is we're offering a draft beer if you take the Nolan quiz. Mm-hmm. And so that's a real conversation starter. People walk up to our display, the Nolan chart, and we offer them, a free beer if they want to take the test. And it's a lot of fun. It's a lot mm-hmm. of fun. It gets people to open up a little bit, let their guard down, start talking about things that are important to them, and then have a discussion about, how the libertarian solutions are the best solutions to all of these issues.
What's especially interesting about, things like the Nolan quiz is that they're not really changing anybody's mind.
No.
The Nolan quiz doesn't change your mind. It just lets you know that based on the opinions that you have, that maybe you intuitively see don't really fit perfectly with everybody else's, if you're in a very, very, status type of environment. It just lets you know that there's people who think like you and that we're working to downsize government. It's interesting that some of the polls done recently have shown that people who are libertarian, while they might not call themselves that yet, are the single largest group in America, bigger than liberals, bigger than conservatives, bigger than authoritarians. They're the single biggest group, and I think that's really amazing work. One of the really exciting things about Louisiana in particular and about New Orleans is you guys are going to be hosting the 2018 Libertarian National Convention. What are some of the things that attendees can look forward to over there?
Well, we are thrilled to host. And 2018 is going to be our tricentennial. New Orleans will be 300 years old. It'll be the 4th of July week, which is going to be very appropriate. We are going to have all kinds of festivals going on around the city. The Essence Festival will be featured that weekend. And I think typically what convention planners from the national party are advising is that the non-presidential convention years are kind of the off-years where they don't get as much of attendance. But what we're looking to do in New Orleans is just double what we've done in the past, what's been done in the past, because New Orleans is a destination city. We want to get as many people from Louisiana out there supporting the Libertarian Party, and we want to bring as many people in from across the country to come into New Orleans and visit and enjoy a great program that, you know, we want to put on. But there's plenty to do. You want to bring your spouse, you want to bring your friends, and just come on down to New Orleans. But in Louisiana, the idea of libertarianism is just really, really picking up. Let me tell you, there was a blues festival last weekend. One of our committee members was at the fest enjoying some blues music, and he got pulled out of the crowd up onto the stage and was the winner of their T-shirt contest. There were four winners, and here is a libertarian standing on the stage with his Louisiana Libertarian T-shirt, and on the back of it has the porcupine that says "Don't tread on anyone," and he won. You know, he was pulled up out of the crowd of thousands and thousands of people. So we were just thrilled to hear that, and we think this year, with so many people being dissatisfied with what the Republicans and the Democrats have to offer, that the Libertarians are going to take center stage. People are looking at options. We hope that our presidential nominee is just going to take the spotlight. And so right now, you know, with the fact that we have established our local affiliates, we've got our game on the ground, we meet monthly. You know, let me tell you, just this past week, we had the press show up at our Orleans Parish Committee. They're telling us that they're going to follow us through this presidential election, and they're telling us that they like what they see. People want options. So things are really, really coming together. We're looking forward to our Louisiana State Convention, which is going to be March 16th and March 17th in Baton Rouge at the Belle of Baton Rouge Casino and Hotel. And we're going to have a presidential candidate forum. We're going to have John McAfee there, Dr. Mark Feltman, Daryl Perry, Rhett Smith, and Jack Robinson. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to have Assemblyman John Moore, who is our highest-ranking Libertarian serving in office, the Nevada's first Libertarian state senator, come and speak. We're going to have activist Stephen Kinsella, who is a writer and a patent attorney who specializes in intellectual property, there speaking. We're also we're very proud to have our chairman, Nick Sarwalk, present with us. He's going to be with us and speaking at our state convention. So like you said, just in 2012, we had seven people at our state convention, seven people that cared enough about what was going on to be present at the convention. And this year, we're expecting over 100, you know, if not more. So
And that is just fantastic. Oh, Wendy, thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing your insights with us.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Arvin.
And guys, if you want to learn more about the Libertarian Party of Louisiana, you just go to lplouisiana.org. And if you want to learn about the Libertarian Party and nationally, just go to lp.org. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Arvin Vora, signing off. Until next week on Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.